Hello, friends. Stan Hootie, business editor with the Daily Gazette family of newspapers. Each week, I travel across upstate's New York capital region and meet interesting people talking about exciting things happening in their lives. I also have the pleasure of working with a host of talented writers who cover a variety of topics on a weekly basis. Some of those interactions begin as assignments, some as random meetings, but through these fortunate opportunities, I like to think that, in some small way, each time, they become friends.
It was a reunion of sorts as Kayla Eck returned to the Daily Gazette podcast studio after her premiere on the Tell Me Your Story podcast earlier this year when she talked about her summer nightmare market on Jay. She was joined in the studio by Downtown Schenectady Improvement Corp's new promotions director, Shenandoah Barrere, my co-host of the newly revamped Stan and Shen show, to talk about the traditional date of the nighttime event on Jay Street in Schenectady.
What's the elevator pitch for this nightmare market that people can't miss?
So there's different things that we've added, but there's throughout the entire market, there's a Tim Burton theme happening. I can't give away everything, but the costumer has gotten these wonderful, very, very detailed Beetlejuice and Lydia costumes, and we've paid two actors that look very similar to them. So they will be going around taking photos and being in character with people. And with that, we already have Jack. Ambition has a whole menu dedicated to Nightmare Before Christmas. And then there's some larger surprises that I can't really say what they are.
Really?
Yeah.
And I don't know what they are either, so don't ask.
The only people that know are my neighbors who are watching me make the thing. And I don't even think they know what's going on, to be honest. They never do.
It's bigger than a coffin?
It's bigger than the coffin, yes. That's been interesting to watch. But even though I can't spoil it, you will see it on social media leading up to the market, so very soon.
Okay.
Yeah.
Everybody was so – I love to tell this story. It's revealing and embarrassing is that I'm an old square. You know what I mean? I'm an old guy. I mean, I love everybody. That's it. I have a couple rules. Love someone. Care about someone. Believe in something. I don't care if you're a druid. I don't care. Whatever.
Yeah.
So it's like very simple rules for being a square as much as I am and things like that. So there's a little apprehension, and I had this in Johnstown when I went to the first oddities market that Benny held. I'm like, okay, everyone's going to be really goth, and I'm not. I'm Mr. Rainbow, and I'm going to see a lot of people in black and white. I'm going to ask to take their photos, and I'm like, I don't want to get punched and stuff like that. First oddities
market. This is my spot then.
I'm like, everybody's so cool. Everybody's so cool at the oddities market. And that's why when it came to the nightmare market, I'm like, okay, these are my people. Because you take photos and you want to get IDs, and that's kind of what we do. And everyone was so cool. So my nightmare market, exact same thing.
Yeah.
Every single person I took photos of, they stopped for photos. They're willing to give you IDs, things like that. The vendors were wicked awesome. We had the one vendor I had to go see that you talked about that, and I shared this with you, I think, and it is different.
Yeah.
That he actually uses.
Oh, Max.
Max
yes.
uses blood in his artwork.
Yes.
Which is different.
Yes.
One of the nicest human beings I ever met.
Oh, yes. Him and his manager are incredibly nice and talented, and they're very well-traveled. Like, you could talk to him about his life and what he does. He makes music. The Catacombs in France, he's filmed a music video in there. He's just an incredibly talented person. But, you know, a thing you said is that everybody's incredibly welcoming, even though you're not necessarily, like, in that subculture sort of thing. So the big thing about the Nightmare Market is we've always said that it's a celebration of the alternative community for the whole community. And a big part of that is us curating the vendors and who we're working with and making sure that they kind of align with like our brand morals. But we want people who are outside of that subculture to feel welcome. And I actually think we're doing a decent job at it because when you look at the photos of the event, it's really cool to see people bring, like, their grandparents, their aunt and uncle. You can tell that they're very, like, amazed by what they're seeing, which is a lot of fun for me. But I did get some feedback, too, from some of the local businesses about how nice our crowds are. And that's, like, the best compliment you could tell me because I'm trying to break that stigma of what, alternative goth metalheads, what they are. That's exactly what I'm trying to show people, is like, you don't have to be afraid of us sort of thing, or feel like you're going to get punched in the face.
Well, because I'm thinking the
full
So I'm like kind of like, I'm the worst one, you know, I'm the one, you know, I'm the one intruding so often, because you're always looking for the candidates. So in a sense, I'm intruding on their day.
Yeah.
So that's where the apprehension is, that I don't want to offend anyone. And it's just, you know, if it's a no, it's a delete, 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 and I'm done, and thank you very much.
Yeah, you don't want them to feel like you're making a spectacle or anything. No, yeah, no. And I get
and
that.
And everybody, and then also with that, the amount of people that were attending with their kids, both, you know, in the subculture, and the kids are a part of it, and they're in wagons.
Yeah.
You know, yep. I mean, these are toddlers coming around with mom and dad, and they were having a blast, and people were bringing their kids. And I know we kind of talked about it on the first podcast, was it's family friendly.
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, there'll be signs. Like, if it's not, if it goes kind of a
too
little
far.
Darker.
Yeah.
You know ahead of time.
Yes.
But I didn't even get that.
You know, I think because I've only said it's adult-centered but family-friendly. And I recently, like in the last 2 weeks, someone said, well, that's a little confusing. What do you mean by that? And basically it means most of what we're booking there is adult-centered, meaning that you might not – if you're a five-year-old, you probably don't even have your own money to shop around, and most of it's shopping, right? But we are booking things for people with kids. So there's a face painter. There's decor that they can run around. There's grass. You know, there's a DIY make-your-own potion thing going on. There's a muralist. There's street performers. There's a few that this year they are, like, some scarier characters, but we've already trained them not to, like, chase. That's a big thing with me, is not everybody likes that at all. And then we booked, like, street performers that are more circus-oriented. So they're very, like, upbeat and cheery and just talented people. So my big thing with the Nightmare Market is I'm a millennial. A lot of the vendors, they're all in that age group. They're all starting families, and not everybody can get childcare. Like, this economy, it's tight for everybody. So I really wanted something where it was free to get in, and you could bring your kids, and they're going to be just as thrilled to be there as you are.
John Norris returns to the podcast studio to talk about a different kind of brew, craft brew, and his visit to Hoosick Valley and Brown's Brewing.
All right, welcome, John Norris. Where has the pint-sized party bus made
you know,
it to?
We were over in Brown's Brewing. Everybody knows them in Troy, but they've got a facility over in Hoosick Falls, New York, sitting on the Wolumsack River, in an old formerly abandoned. Now it's been a 150-year-old factory building where they. It was a valve factory, and then it became it did some other stuff with it, but it's a 150-year-old factory that they've converted into a beautiful space where they do a lot of midday. Like, half of it is, like, used for, it's the humongous brew tanks. It's a brewing factory, essentially. And then there's a great bar with a patio that looks out over the Wolumsack River. Say that four times
25,
fast.
29 years, I've never heard of Wolumsack River.
Well, it's been there the whole time.
Yes. Brown history.
It's waiting for you. And they miss you. But, yeah, they do about 24, 25 seasonal or time-honored brews every year. And they've got some rotating brews. They've got an award-winning oatmeal stout. Tastes fantastic. I also do a lot of barrel-aged sour series beers. They use a lot of local ingredients. They source things locally. Hop Holler Farms. They go from, so you know, it's local water. It's local hops, local malt, things like that. Makes it taste like a piece of upstate New York. You know, they've also got a nice food menu there. Great food menu. Local cheeses as well there. Browns, they've got two taproom locations. One in the Wolumsack in Hoosick Falls, New York. Kind of on, it's if you're driving out Route 7 to go to Bennington to check out some stuff, whether it's leaves this time of year, things like that. If you just go north toward Hoosick Falls, and you go over a little bridge and There's a turnoff, and it's a tough place to find. But once you found it, it's very worth it. So just use your GPS. It'll get you there.
So this is like kind of like one of those off-the-beaten-path type of places. Like, once you know, you know.
Exactly. You can't see it from the road, and there's a bridge that you go over. If you look to the right, it's down at the bottom. It's down in the holler. But it's that, and it's a sweet little place, though. They've done a great job on the rehab. Gary Brown, who owns Brown's Brewing, he's an alum of the Daily Gazette. He worked for 14 years. His dad, Sid, another alum, 45-year alum, he worked here as he was head of photography. Gary's also a photographer.
Yeah, and I know when you told me you were at Brown's and you showed me a photo, and you said Gary, and that didn't ring a bell for me, but then you said Sid, and I'm like, are you serious?
Yes.
Because fortunately, when I came down 5 years ago, Sid had left the building per se, mm-hmm. but he was still around, and Mark Schultz was here. So there were the Sid stories, and as we went into some of the historic pieces with the floods, the Schoharie flood, those were Sid Brown photos of, you know, the portion of the thruway being gone, and those were Sid Brown photos, and Sid Brown photos from the air. And as I said, we had the opportunity. Sid had a showing out in Hoosick Falls.
Nice.
And it was, I took the drive with my wife Rita, and it was a Gazette reunion because Sid was there, Bill Buell was there from the Daily Gazette, still with us in writing, and also Jeff Wilkin was there.
Oh, wow.
And then I went there to take photos of Sid's showing. So it was just, it was great that, and then we lost Sid a little while ago, but it was one of those moments as a writer that you're able to see someone who made a difference before you.
Mm-hmm.
And in that world of photography, his stuff lived on. And then Gary, you know, hopefully I'm sure there's some Gazette money may have been left over to launch the brewery. But it's just so great how this craft beer trail continues to give back.
Mm. Yeah, actually, when we first started this column, Gary Brown, he emailed me a photograph that he'd taken of Bill Newman. Now Newman, it's the start of Newman's Ales, probably the mid to late 70s here in Albany. So he was like one of the first craft brewers ever, and he converted the pump station facility that was Newman's Brewing initially, and then when he finally retired from the business, it was taken over by Bubba. It's now, I think, in its third iteration of brewers are operating right there. But the funny thing is, so Gary sent me a picture that he'd taken of Bill Newman from Newman's Brewing. So it's like the ink stain wretches and the beer stain wretches were all getting together.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So what'd you like? What did you? I'm sure you had to have a taste.
Oh yes, their beers are fantastic. You know, they're like the granddaddy of small batch or just high end beers like that. They're the granddaddy around here. Everything you've tried there tastes interesting. They taste either fantastic or really interesting. It's a really good version of what this should be. All of their IPAs there, they're all spot on. I really did enjoy their the oatmeal stout was really good there.
So I was going to ask you a question about the oatmeal stout.
Mm-hmm.
How is it? I mean, oatmeal stout is just that one of is that the grain they're putting into mm-hmm. it? Is that where we get the oatmeal?
Exactly, that's the grain, the food for the yeast to convert the sugars into alcohol and oxygen and carbon dioxide.
Cool. And then so oatmeal stout's the winner. Anything else jump out at you?
Just the fact that it's a really relaxing place to go. You go there, and it's the food's really good. The prices aren't like downtown Albany prices. You're out there you're in the country. Prices are better. It's relaxing. It's a relaxing place to stop on the way to or from Vermont, going out Route 7.
Gotcha.
Wonderful place though.
All right. So do we know where you're off to next, or is it still pending?
I've a couple people have reached out to me over the past few weeks. I'm still juggling my calendar because I did this on my personal time.
Correct.
So it's like I have to make sure that my significant other Mary is on board with the location where we're going today. It's like, she goes, yeah, but are there any outlet malls near there? I go, oh yeah, sure.
Anything to make the trip more expensive is what I have found.
Exactly. But it makes them much more happy. So
it's a better ride overall.
Absolutely.
If the travel partner is pleased with the destination,
absolutely,
and the things that go along with the event on our time there. So fantastic. So Brown's Brewing,
yes.
We're going to raise a glass to.
It's a world. Yep, they produce the oatmeal stout. That's a World Beer Cup gold medal winner.
Which is fantastic. As a tease, we're kind of looking at pumpkin coming up. We're mulling some mead on a possible pumpkin promotion.
That would be a fun. I think it would make a lot of sense to a lot of breweries because they get competitive.
Yeah, we're starting, and in this conversation we had, we're starting to see a lot of the craft beer entities that I'm trying to follow as the new business editor, and food being encompassing 75% of my day. Mm-hmm. Those menus are coming out, so we had this conversation, and we found a suggestion.
Yes.
That we're possibly adopting.
It's definitely in the early stages.
Yeah.
But I think when we have this conversation next week, we'll have a fully formed idea.
I think so.
And then we'll have funding for it.
Funding is key. Funding is key. And I'm going to go see the man right now about funding.
Oh, the funder.
I've got to go. I'm going to go see the man about funding for this.
Good.
See what he can come up with. But Brown's Brewing, man, another a legacy,
absolutely.
A Gazette legacy beer, really. We can almost label it as. Maybe, you know, somebody's got a pink sheet beer out there. We've seen it through
the
track.
Yeah,
so maybe we can get a Gazette, a masthead beer. Maybe just call it the masthead.
That's a great idea.
You know, so maybe we'll pitch that.
I would love to go out there and spend a day brewing that beer with him.
That's a try it. We got to bring back the try it. We had to get John over the vat, pouring in the hops.
There we go.
It's not a pretty thing to photograph by any means. It's an awful looking soup, but I'll take the end product.
What's fantastic though is, and we need to come up with some kind of smell addition, because when the brew is actually brewing in the tank, the gases it gives off, it's mostly CO2. But it smells like fresh baked bread.
Yes.
It smells like fresh baked bread. Yes. The yeast working at it. As an aside, growing up in Southern Soto County, we drive through Waterford into North Troy when I was a kid, and that's where Frappers had their baking factory. And I remember that smell as a kid, it was indelible. It was in your head for the rest of the day. You could... The car, we'd roll the windows down, and the car was sucking. Yeah, we're getting free bread. No.
And I don't know if you've ever been to Hershey, Pennsylvania.
Yes.
But you can smell chocolate the whole time.
That's good.
Yes. The city smells like chocolate. God bless them.
Last time I was in Hershey, I was a kid with my parents.
That's same for me.
And they've got the Hershey Park, the huge.
Yes, that's where we park. Go.
And the loop coaster got stuck.
Oh, my God.
While we were in line.
At least in line.
Yeah, we were in line.
At least we weren't strapped in. That's worse. All right. Well, thanks for stopping
by. Very good.
And we'll talk to you next week. Okay. And we'll be able, and this is our podcast goes up on Monday. So just go back, check the Gazette site under our food section, our pint size portion, and you'll see John's whole feature about Brown's Brewing that he talked about today.
Longtime friend and prolific writer Thomas Demopoulos makes his first visit on the podcast as he shares his thoughts and memories of Alice Cooper performing at SPAC to close out the summer concert season.
All right. Well, thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
And wanted to do this last week, but you were out, unfortunately. But it was still worth the holdover because I think you might have had even more fun at Judas Priest than Alice Cooper than I did.
I certainly did.
And your review and things like that, the photo gallery and your review has really done really well for our readership. And that's why I wanted to bring in and talk about Alice. So what'd you think? I mean, you've got a history. Like, you've seen Alice a little while ago.
I saw Alice when I was 14 years old on an Easter Sunday when he started Welcome to My Nightmare tour in a hockey arena in Hartford that has since collapsed.
I'm just laughing because Alice Cooper on Easter Sunday is just like there's so many jokes to be made.
It was perfect. It was perfect. But we know Alice the man, Vincent, is very different than Alice the onstage character.
Okay.
He is a lot calmer.
Really?
Human, yes. He's a family man.
Okay.
And then he gets on stage and, well, let's talk about Saratoga.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the props.
Okay, yes.
We had the skull maracas that he used on the original Alice Cooper Band's Muscle of Love song. We have a pearl necklace that he used on Dirty Diamonds. There was a straight jacket that was used on the very beautiful Ballad of Dwight Fry. There was a guillotine, there were axes, there were hatchets, there were sabers, and there was a detachable mic stand that turned into a switchblade, which he used to stab a non-stage photographer.
But staged on-stage photographer. As far as we know.
As far as we know, apparently.
Okay.
Maybe on tour.
It didn't make the blotter.
It uses a different photographer every... Well, stabbing of a photographer, would that make the blotter?
Yeah.
Of course, the boa, the pet boa constrictors are long gone. He used to use those on stage. And they, I would be remiss if I didn't mention them by name. They were Kachina, who lasted for several years, who was succeeded by Angel, who was succeeded by Christopher. And of course, there were Cobra Winfrey and Count Strangula and Julius Squeezer. And
he's a fan of animals.
He is. The electric chair is also gone, although local folks might have caught that on tour. It was at Universal Preservation Hall on display back in the COVID days.
Okay.
COVID electric chair. Why not?
Why not?
Alice, he's gotten better through the years. The original band, to me, is still the best. But there was a period he went through in the 80s and 90s where physically he wasn't doing very well. And he's kind of cleaned that up. And he is in his 70s, mid-70s?
Mid-70s we looked at. And I know from seeing some of the veteran acts, you know, and some of the people throughout the summer taking photos, he moved really well.
He did move well. He looked good. The timeless secret we learned there is black mascara.
I thought it was Better Living Through Chemical. Oh, okay.
His band is stellar, and so, he puts on a good show. Everybody puts on a good show. It's ironic, too. He performed I'm 18, which people may know, which I think he first did when he was in his early 20s. And now at 77, he's doing it again. But now he does it with a crutch to lean on, an old man's crutch. So there's a little bit of that humor as well.
And obviously the co-headliners we went with, I think we it was all labels, co-headlines, Judas Priest. And
correct.
You know, they came out and lit it up, and I don't know where you fall on, you know, fandom with Judas Priest.
Yeah, no.
They were there.
They were there. There was a motorcycle.
Yeah, they played.
It was loud.
Okay.
Truthfully, a lot of the crowd were fans of Judas Priest, and I think that also affected Alice's set list. He pulled a lot from the heavier material, and people, fans of Judas Priest, seemed to enjoy Judas Priest. Loud. Did I say it was loud?
It was
rad.
It was out there. It was out there. So, everybody looked pretty good. I mean, you know, Rob was out there. And, you know, it's for me as a photographer, you know, we have strict rules. 3 songs and you're out, you know, and that's why we don't see any of the good stuff that you get to see as a reviewer. You know, so part of the challenge is, you know, Halford's out there and, he does the two-handed mic right to his face, you know, so you've got basically Santa screaming into a microphone. It's kind of really the takeaway I had. Rita was at the gate. And that's the one thing, you know, we have found out and really started to appreciate was the sound as good as the gate as anywhere else. So she thought they sounded good. Alice sounded phenomenal. We stayed pretty much almost to the end as Rita was listening and I was setting up photos and things like that. But from my lens, you know, near the soundboard, which is right near you, your review ticket, you know, he looked good. The band sounded great. The one thing, you know, from that photography standpoint is, you know, the tour designs what 3 songs they come out with and what three songs and the photographers are out. So one thing I appreciate about Alice is that it hasn't happened all the time is when the front man will move through their musicians. And so you will automatically include the musicians in your photos, in your photo galleries. And I think Alice, maybe, you know, a veteran, realizes that and makes it a point. And that's where we get a lot of good guitar photos. And obviously, our young lady there is, you know, why not take 50 photos of her?
Yeah. Nita Strauss.
Yeah.
Guitarist Nita Strauss. Yeah, I think you're right about that. He is a veteran performer, but also one that I've admired for his attention to detail. He'll do, he did No More Mr. Nice Guy that night. Mm-hmm. And if you watch him, he has a walking cane. And right there in mid-verse, he's not just singing, he's walking around the stage, fixed on a point at the back end of the amphitheater and using that cane to really illustrate the lyrics in the song. You know, now the lyrics are not, you know, 19th century romantic poetry. His attention to detail is very good. So I think probably you're right about that. We've seen other performers who are not so forthcoming.
Yeah.
You know, Marilyn Manson comes to mind for actually throwing powdered substance at the photographers. Neil, Don't Take My Picture Young is another one.
Gotcha. So this was this, and this wrapped the SPAC season.
It did.
It did. So life will change, and new acts will come to SPAC, and I know we'll be on duty at the great Saratoga Performing Arts Center. Who's a get for you next year? Who are you hoping makes it? Who, you know, who's got stuff coming out? Who would you like to see?
I'm Lincoln.
We're kind of like fans of the, as my wife says, as Rita says, the Don't Break a Hip tour. You know, you can call them veterans. You can call them cold codgers. You can call back for more cash tours. Who'd you like to see that is either should be coming back again or is something coming out? Or
well, I think
you want to see before it's time.
Before. Well, I think to your first point, I think that's correct. I think we can, and this is just me speaking, I think we can bank on Dave Matthews playing a couple of shows, the Doobie Brothers, Chicago, you know, your standard favorites. Mm-hmm. As far as someone on the cusp, I would like to see the Dolly Rots. Listeners may not be totally in tune with. But they're a great little band. They've been going at it for about 10 years. Power punk, let's call them. If Blink 182 had talent, they would be the Dolly Rots.
Okay. Demopoulos off the top rope to the Blink-182 fans.
Okay, good. You had your couple. You're done. Vaughn and Dolly Watts are next up.
Plus the amphitheater and the lawn. I think they're capped at 25,000 now. Mm-hmm. Is suitable to a number of bands we haven't seen in Saratoga. The Pixies come to mind. I don't know if they're touring next year, but they've been around for a while. Not massive, but not mm-hmm. not small either. So how about the Pixies and the Dolly Rots together?
That's on the wish list.
That would be a fabulous evening.
All right. Well, thanks for coming in. I dragged you in with, I think, a total – well, I told you before our meeting. So you had a half an hour to digest this. Like, what am I doing? And I'm like, yeah, I tried to catch you last week, but you weren't here. So we're going to do this now. We've got to get this done in 10 minutes. And, you know, I gave you this is the shock jock portion of the Stan and Friends show. Where I was just literally dragging somebody in from the office into the podcast studio.
Right.
To get something.
Well, I wish you told me a little more. I got my hair all straightened out and everything else.
Your photo is stellar. Stellar.
Thank you, Stan. It's been amazing.
And we'll have you on again.
Thank you, sir.
The Stan and Friends podcast could not be possible with the help of a few of my friends.
Chad Arnold.
John McIntyre.
Ken Schott, sports editor of the Daily Gazette.
Shenandoah Breer.
Ted Remsnyder.
Kayla Eck, owner and director of the Nightmare Market and the Nightmare Expo.
John Norris, pint-sized reviewer.
Thomas Demopoulos, journalist.
Rita Garrett Hootie, a.k.a. Mrs. Stan or Stan's wife.
Thank you for listening, and thanks to all of my friends, old and new, who have made this possible. Until next time, be well.